This is News Radio 105.9 WBBM's All Local. Listen and subscribe for Chicago's most up-to-date news each weekday morning and afternoon. Now from the WBBM Newsroom, these are the most important news stories from the Chicago area.
Our top local story here on News Radio WBBM. Jurors in a federal courtroom in Chicago's Loop are hearing right now from the man who was once the most powerful Democrat in the state of Illinois. Disgraced former State House Speaker Michael Madigan is testifying under oath in his corruption trial. Prosecutors say Madigan and others conspired to place friends and cronies in highly paid do-nothing jobs at ComEd in exchange for supporting legislation the utility proposed. Madigan has pleaded not guilty and on the stand today denied that he ever traded his public office for private gain. Patrick Collins is a partner in the Chicago office of the King and Spalding Law Firm and a former federal prosecutor who led the corruption case against convicted ex-Governor George Ryan. He tells WBBM most defense attorneys in public corruption cases keep their clients off the stand.
When a defendant testifies, the case no longer is about did the government meet its burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. It's whether the defendant comes off as credible. And so in many respects, I think, again, the conventional wisdom in these cases is the defendant should not testify because it effectively lowers the standard of of proof.
WBBM's Haley Hansen is in the courtroom. We'll hear from her later this afternoon. Well, those signs you see at convenience and vape stores advertising products including Delta 8 and Kratom aren't going anywhere after a bid to regulate them is apparently dead for now in Springfield.
A closed-door meeting of Illinois House Democrats got testy, as Representative Cam Buckner acknowledges.
It was a very robust discussion for sure, and I would say there were some tensions there. There were some high passions there, but at the end of the day, to me, that is really just par for the course when you're dealing with such a complex issue.
Lawmakers are struggling to strike a balance between public health concerns and giving opportunities to growers and producers. He agrees age restrictions are important when minors can currently buy unregulated hemp products such as Delta 8, but he says there's more to it.
There's no magic at age 21 that makes it safe for you, you know, as well, when there's no labeling on this, when people don't know what's in the ingredients.
Democrats Governor Pritzker and Mayor Johnson are on opposite sides for now, as both see potential tax revenue in regulation. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
And one more note about this. The governor lashed out at opponents of the measure during an unrelated appearance in McLean County today, saying they treated members of his staff and other state workers disrespectfully during that caucus meeting yesterday.
They were berated. They were called liars. They were treated extremely poorly. One of my staff people had to get up and leave because she felt ganged up upon and called a liar and pointed at. And I mean, it was frightening.
The governor says he's told House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch those staffers are owed apologies. We've asked Welch's office for a response. A McHenry woman facing hit-and-run charges 3 months after a 24-year-old Wakanda High School graduate was fatally struck near Island Lake. 50-year-old Christine Eilers of McHenry now charged with leaving the scene of a crash involving death and failure to report a crash involving the death of Austin Static. The sheriff's office says debris from the crash was located at the scene and collected as evidence. Well, colder temperatures in our area mean a well-known sight for people on the North Shore is back, but authorities say that ice shelf forming along the shoreline is best observed from a distance. WBBM's Jim Goodis has been looking into this. He's here at the anchor desk with the story.
And the cold and windy conditions in recent days have created that ice shelf along the lakefront in Evanston. Tim Carter, who manages the lakefront and athletics division at Evanston's Parks and Recreation Department, says some people mistakenly think the ice is thicker than it really is. He says standing or walking on that ice is dangerous.
What happens is the lake bottom never freezes, but the surface does. And so folks may be tempted to climb onto the ice and explore it, not realizing underneath their feet, an inch or two or less, is open water.
Carter says people who step on that ice are at risk of falling through and suffering hypothermia or drowning. He also says it's dangerous for first responders who are sent to rescue people who fall through the ice. Live at the Anchor Desk, Jim Goodis, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
If you know someone who's recovering from a case of norovirus after the holidays, they're part of a growing trend in the Chicago area.
Places like group homes and assisted living buildings are already contending with cases of respiratory ailments like COVID, RSV, and the flu, but local health departments are also seeing an unusually high rise in cases of the gastrointestinal norovirus. Typified by vomiting and diarrhea, Assistant Kane County Health Director April Elliott says cleaning up after those suffering is challenging and vital.
Certainly during this time, there's an increased need for especially masking and gloves and constant change and with the increase of illness. So the need to have that on hand at all times is necessary. So they're used to that, but there's definitely an increase of its usage.
Dr. Rachel Rubin, the Cook County Public Health Department senior medical officer, says the norovirus is tough to kill.
It can stay on sort of softer surfaces, like, for example, a carpet, for as much as a couple of weeks.
It is immune to hand sanitizer, but Dr. Rubin says vigorous hand washing with soap and water works. Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Six people in LaSalle County accused of operating COVID-19 scams. Prosecutors say the suspects applied for and received government and aid ranging from more than $10,000 to $20,000. Shaw Media reports each now face up to 15 years if convicted. A developer has revived a plan for a high-rise apartment building on vacant land in the heart of downtown Evanston that would be the city's tallest building.
Chicago-based Vermilion Development is looking to build a 31-story apartment building that would have 447 units and retail on the first floor. It would top out at 330 feet on the 600 block of Davis Street. The current tallest building in Evanston is Orrington Plaza at 277 feet. Vermilion had plans for a 33-story apartment building on the same site that were rejected in 2018. Then the firm proposed an 18-story office tower that was approved in 2020 but never materialized. Cranes reports the switch back to apartments tracks with the broader trend in the commercial real estate market. Office vacancies are at an all-time high, and developers see residential projects as a better bet. Mike Krauser, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
And now from the AppleChevy.com sports desk, good afternoon to 670 The Score is Mike Esposito.
Andy, good afternoon. The Bears were seen as a team on the rise after picking Caleb Williams first overall, but after a 5-12 season, things are looking a lot cloudier for the Bears. But as Rick Gregg reports, Team Brass confirmed that Ryan Poles will be back as general manager and lead the search for a new head coach.
Why stick with Poles? Bears chairman George McCaskey's answer.
We like his leadership. We like the staff that he's assembled. The communication has been excellent, and he's in a business where in the player personnel department, there are going to be hits and there are going to be misses. And the key is you have to have more hits than misses. So that is the challenge for him and for his staff.
And Bears president Kevin Warren says he trusts Ryan and the process that he's put together. Poles says his biggest takeaway from the failure of 2024 is that the Bears must stay focused on process over outcomes, most immediately in this coaching search. And Alice Hall, Rick Gregg, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Big press conference at Hallis Hall today with McCaskey, team president Kevin Warren, and Poles all speaking. The next big step, of course, the head coaching hire, and atop the list of candidates, Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson and former Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Raiders have just fired Antonio Pierce, their head coach, after one full season. The Titans earlier today fired their GM, Ran Carthon. Basketball, Bulls in Indiana tomorrow night taking on the Pacers after beating the Spurs last night. Hockey, the Hawks taking on the Avalanche tomorrow night at the UC. Lots of college basketball tonight, including UIC at Missouri State. With sports at 16-46, I'm 670 The Score's Mike Esposito on News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
A woman is set to appear in court following hate crime accusations after she allegedly threw a Molotov cocktail on the porch of her neighbors last year.
Prosecutors say 69-year-old Ana Hernandez threw the explosive in an attempt to injure, intimidate, and interfere with her neighbors because of their race, color, and national origin. The targets of the alleged attack are both Venezuelan. This happened in March of 2024, according to the arrest report. Hernandez was captured on video throwing the explosive onto the back porch of her neighbor's home near Armitage and Kimball in Logan Square. Hernandez faces one count of aggravated arson and one count of hate crime. Carolina Garibay, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Chicago police issuing a community alert following three armed robberies west of downtown.
The robberies all took place last Friday morning between 5:30 and 7. The first was in the 1200 block of West Randolph. The second was in the 700 block of North May. And the third was in the 100 block of Northwestern. Chicago police say in each robbery, three male suspects wearing all black and ski masks got out of a stolen vehicle and robbed the victims of their personal property at gunpoint and then got back into the vehicle and drove off. Investigators say the suspects appeared to be between the ages of 17 and 23. Mai Martinez, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Republicans in Wisconsin are prioritizing voter ID requirements as they open a new session this week. GOP lawmakers want to place a measure on ballots for the statewide elections in April that would enshrine a law first passed in 2011. Democrats say the ID requirement makes it harder for people to vote. The Wisconsin State Senate is expected to pass the measure tomorrow before the state assembly takes it up next week.
All Local is a production of News Radio 105.9 WBBM, Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on the Odyssey app to continue receiving up-to-date news and information.